This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The Wombles Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch, and later on we are going to be joined by a massive Wimbledon fan, Ollie Lewis. But first off, let me introduce the one and only Danny Baker. Danny, how are we?
I'm right, mate. Any difficult words this week? You want to get off your chest? Just to, you know, the Farrar thing was sensational yet last week.
My wife actually agreed with me and said I was right.
No, she didn't. She never doesn't agree with anything you say.
But, no, I'm a thesaurus of words, mate.
I've always said that. I've always thought that your strong point in this podcast is your vocab depth.
I'm
and
a wordsmith, mate. A dictionary.
Well, I tell you what. Massive discussion in the office today. Right. Huge. It almost came to blows.
Oh, you went in, yeah?
Oh, big time, yeah. Went in, spoke to everyone, left at halftime. Best football show, right? So we were talking about, I still think, and I'll die on this hill, just like Joe Brown last week, I don't think there's anything better than Fantasy Football League. The old one, I thought that was Badil and Skinner. Everything else about it.
Who was the
fantastic
guy with the glasses? The one in the
Stato. That as a concept and as a program from a football fan, I thought was sensational.
Early years of Soccer IM.
Yeah,
some clips of it going around, and I think now it's just mad how we say about things changing and things being like, what's it called? Oh, what's the word? You know, with football, and what do you keep saying when it goes literally like crap nowadays? Oh, what's the word? I forget. But with the soccerette,
the thesaurus has spoken.
They bring out the soccerette and they're like, oh, first things first, how old are you? And she's like 20. Yeah. And they're like, great age. That's a great age. And you think,
28, it'll never last.
Yeah. You're in a relationship. Yes. But I never, Because you know, I went on it. Soccerette. I was on it.
Did you score?
With Graham
What was the challenge? Was it the dink into the little circle bit?
Ollie, when we bring Ollie, you know, Lawrence Tanner was on it, the goalkeeper for the supporters team. My mate Bournemouth Dave.
Whoa. I've played with Ollie in goal. All right, and Ollie.
No,
was
Ollie
super,
weren't the goalkeeper. So Lawrence Tanner was the goalkeeper. He was good. Decent.
Not the Wimbledon.
Big lad. So it was good for
him. So we were talking about it. The big question was though, where does Match of the Day sit? Because I don't know about you.
It's not a football programme.
Well, this is it. I think it is, you know.
No, it's a football highlights programme.
Well, but it's still a football programme.
Yeah, but not.
Is Match of the Day where it was?
I don't really watch it nowadays, to be fair.
Well, there we are. That's the point I'm making.
Do you know why? Don't need to. I can get the goals on my phone within 2 seconds of them going in.
Again, this is the exact conversation I had. And I was like, about football programmes. And they were like Ted Lasso and this sort of stuff. And I was like, it's fine. I was like, but Match of the Day, surely the fact that everyone streams it is up to date so quickly, I don't necessarily see it being as strong as it probably was.
You just said Ted Lasso, right? Which is too Americanized for my liking.
Yeah,
what
it is a little
the,
bit.
The original, the GOAT, I forget the name, but the Harchester. Do you remember
Dream Team?
Dream Team. That was the GOAT of a program. That and that had it all.
What, when with Presh Andatani?
Like, I don't get why it went on for so long, because they literally had to come up with new ideas, weren't it? Like, it was just mad how they were coming up with things.
And do you think like the modern day, the documentaries are up there? Like, do you like the Arsenal, like behind the scenes stuff?
Nah, I tried to watch the Newcastle one. I'm bored of it already.
Could
I've only watched
imagine
about three or four.
If they did a Wimbledon one when it was in the
It's like the Wrexham one. I've not watched season mental. Two of the Wrexham one because it's just, everyone knows the story. Everyone knows the end of it. But I said to you before, I watch a lot of YouTube. So I watch like, the guy called does Away Days Ellis. He's a young lad who goes to all across Europe, all across the world, watching football at different stadiums, showing you what the culture's like, what the scran, as they call my boy keeps calling it, football scran. He's like, are we getting scran on Saturday? I said, if you call it scran
again.
I
said, scran.
If you call it football scran again, I said, you'll never eat a football match again. You'll go hungry. Stupid.
Wow. Ollie, come on. Ollie,
welcome football, to the pod.
Football programs, where are you at?
Well, I was with you first of all there, Danny, when you went fantasy football league.
Yes.
First couple of years.
Oh,
especially the time it was on. It was like a Friday night, about 11:15, 11:30. So back from the pub, watch it. Brilliant.
They just got it so right, didn't they? They got it so right. All of it was great. The Phoenix from the Flames and that sort of stuff was so good.
Have you watched the new version of it on Sky?
No, I'm so worried to watch it.
They've tried to recreate it, and some of it's quite funny because it's got Matt Lucas on. It's got Matt Lucas on as well.
Yeah, Ellis James as well, isn't it? The Welsh guy.
Yeah, but it's just not as good. But the one Lee's picked the one up. Dream Team was brilliant. How much can happen to one football team?
That's what I know.
the goalkeeper going mad and driving the team bus into people under the Millennium Stadium and they're killing everyone. All those sorts of things. It's just absolutely mental.
There was so many good, like, there were so many things that popped up today. Even, I don't know about you, and you might go shut up, but when Dolly was tiny, I used to be up at silly o'clock and there was always a big match revisited on. Like 1980s, late 70s, Wimbledon Leeds would always be on. I absolutely love that.
We do have some more mature Wimbledon fans who listen to the podcast. They're going to be
Greavesy.
Yeah, I was just why are you literally just butting into everything I was going to say? And then when people go Saint and Greavesy, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I said that.
Yeah, I said that.
But apparently, I don't watch the EFL highlights either. But apparently, they've been ruined this season again.
But
they're not football shows though, they're highlights.
Yeah, I don't know where they sit as well. I mean, like I said, because of the immediacy, I mean, look at us as an example, right? And if I'm really honest, I'm not that bothered about the goals from Oxford, Burton or whatever. I'm looking at us. There's always a Dons fan or two. By the time I get home, I've seen the goals already. In fact, because you've got iFollow, brothers in Australia, where we'll go, this is a joke, and I've seen it at the ground. So I don't necessarily know whether highlight shows have the same kind of pull. I mean, I've really liked watching the football documentaries and that sort of stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff at Arsenal and Man City, I find fascinating. But the actual goals stuff, the only one I actually would watch, I don't watch it that much, is Monday Night Football. Because it's a lot more...
Ruined it. They've ruined
it. No, I think it's got better. I think the tactical analysis and, you know, the big screen and you move that and you circle him and he does that. I just find that ridiculous. Really, really interesting.
They've ruined it, right? And I'm going to get loads of...
Yeah, and you deserve it if you're going to ruin it.
Karen Carney is absolute awful pundit and she should never have been brought in. It was good when it was Gary Neville versus Jamie Carragher. Didn't need to, why change things that don't need to be changed, right? It was brilliant before.
To move on, Lee.
No, I'm not moving on. No, it's like they ruined Soccer Saturday. They ruined Soccer Saturday.
Bloke wanted to retire.
No, they've ruined it by getting rid of all the panel who were awful. But that's the reason why you watch it.
You still want
they keep Paul,
Mer-
Paul
Best
Merson.
On.
Paul Merson is awful pundit, right? They keep him on because of the issues that he has in his modern life that he has to stay on the show. But they wouldn't. He's not very good at telling you who scored and stuff like that. But yeah, anyway,
yeah, but
the highlights.
But was Chris Kamara. He was like a stablemate of it.
But unfortunately, Chris Kamara's
right.
Had to step
so what's
down
your point now then?
Yeah, but he's had to step down because he's got. He's got issues.
Yeah, but your point was that Paul Merson wasn't good at explaining the game. Chris Kamara was an absolute shambles.
Nah, but they bring in people that are absolute got no clue what they're talking about. They're like, oh, there's been a goal. Anyway, my point with highlight shows, and some people will disagree with this as well, is I actually watched some of it for the punditry for Big Meeks versus Roy Keane. Do you know what I mean? When he's winding him up and you can see Roy Keane going to burst the blood vessel. I find that fun. It's like they do the one, what's it called? The one with Gary Neville,
the overlap,
that's it. Yeah, I like them kind of pro because I like to get insights on what these people are like in real life. Do you know what I mean? I like Roy Keane. I'm a big fan of Roy.
Well, talking about insights, Lily, there's a link. Let Ollie crew Alexander at home. Talk to the fans, please.
Frustrating, I think is the only
excellent
way.
First word to start off.
I think is the only way to sum it up. We should have been home and dry by half time. You know, if you think about it, Till's missed a chance at 0-0, which was a tap in.
Yeah.
And then even at 2-0, Bugle went clean through, fair enough, a bit left of the goal and took it wide. And then we did the thing we did under Robbo, which is that we used to call it the danger zone. 5 minutes either side of half time, letting a goal. And it was such a poor goal to let in. I watched it back today. And you look at the cross, comes in, sort of Johnson doesn't really make a move to it. Lewis sort of has got a man on his back, so doesn't want to touch it. And then I can't remember if Oggs had been upfield. So he's chased back and no one's picked up his man and it's an easy tap-in. And then from then, you know, you're always worried they're just going to lump it in the box in the last few minutes. And you look at their second goal, it is just a massive lump from, you know, the goalkeeper's headed it. The centre-half then volleyed it. And the problem is that Joe Lewis comes out about 10 yards out of position and tries to head over old Connor Evans. So we're completely at, you know, heads and tails. And then I think Bash should do better with the goal. I know it's gone through Oggs's legs, but I think that, you know, you guys have discussed it before. If that's Tans, we are slaughtering him, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd just like to say, I like Bass. I think he brings a lot of calm and I think the defenders all have confidence in him. But I think he should do better at that, without a doubt. And I suppose the other big point is that obviously with the fourth official not working out how the how the subs board works.
Yeah.
You know, we get those. No one had a clue how long was on. You know, that was in the 93rd minute. We still hadn't had how long's up. But why did he take Lakin off? Was he injured? Because we got left in the centre midfield of Pell and Connor Evans. And my understanding is that Connor Evans is more of a Tilly type player.
Yeah.
He's not a centre midfielder. And we all know Pelly, God bless him, can't do the two in midfield. So
it's so frustrating. Cause like you said, the difficulty with it is that it would be so easy to be naive and just blame the end of it and go, oh God, we can't hold our lead and this sort of stuff. So it'd be easy just to focus on that. But the game, we should have absolutely battered it. We had so many chances, early doors. Al-Hamadi still doesn't look like he can score a goal. Even though I thought he had a good game, I actually thought he worked hard and I thought he played well. It just doesn't look like takes an extra touch where he doesn't need to. We've had so many chances. I don't know whether I'm frustrated that we didn't win it 5-2 or get well ahead, or whether we still just have an inability, having spoken about it last week, to hold on to a lead. I don't know what's more annoying. Lee?
Well, I missed the first half because it was my little one's birthday. So I was at a zoo/farm. So I missed the first half. So, yeah, I didn't see us get battering them. I just kept being told that we were 2-0 up. And I was like, oh, lovely. That's a good scoreline. Then, obviously, we can set, as Ollie said, the danger zone, which is Wimbledon. My question to you two is, why are we mentally fragile again this season? Is it the play? Because last year we were giving away lead. I think someone put a thing up the other day of how many times we've conceded after winning or losing after winning. Is it the players or is it something to do with the management? Because like Ollie said there, Lakin's been taken off. Was he injured? Again, we'll never know because we never get told. Morgan Williams didn't even make the bench on Saturday, which I was quite shocked with. He keeps insisting on playing Pell. Do you know what I mean? Which I don't think is the right decision. I don't know if he's trying just to play Pell for an old mate or something like that, because Pell was, there was no need for Pell in that game. Morgan Williams probably would have been better to bring on, but he weren't even on the bench. And it's just frustrating. I think Lakin's better. I've had my words on Evans previously saying I don't think we needed him to come in. I think we needed a striker. And yeah, I'm just, yeah, where are we mentally at the moment? Is it the same as last year, or is it just Wimbledon being just silly in the games that we played?
I think there's a big difference to last year. Because last year, we just weren't creating the chances. We'd go 1-0 up, we'd sit back, and you knew what was coming, right? People I know have won a lot of money betting against us when we went 1-0 up last year. I think that this year, there's something about this team that actually are different. You know, we could have won that game in the last minute on Saturday. Sasu had that volley.
Yeah.
And also, someone must be filming from where you stand, Danny. There was a blatant handball in the build-up to that move by the Crew centre defender. He had his hand above his head. Ball hit his hand. Couldn't see that from where I was.
I don't remember
that. But I think it's different. But Pell's an interesting one for me, because we've been told all season he's playing that bugle role. Now, that's his role up front, in front of Davidson. Those two seem to be paired together. And then he brings him on Saturday in centre mid. When he took ball off for Pell.
Well, that was my point with Pell, because no Williams on the bench. So Pell then, if you look at our bench, is the only midfield option on the bench, because Evans is going to be playing that number 10 role, and he can play left, right, but he's also going to be the number 10 option. If you look at the bench again, Pell is the only option if we need to bring someone on in a midfield. But yeah, he hasn't been playing that pretty much most of the season, and we're throwing him on. And as you said, for the build-up of their second goal, we have two players jumping for the same ball. Lewis is well out of position, which ain't the first time he's gone running out like that. And I agree with what you said, Ollie. I think Bass, if that was Tans, he'd be getting absolutely slaughtered on social media and saying he's rubbish, he shouldn't be in the team. I know Bass has got a little bit in the pocket regarding some of the games he's played, but this is a couple of mistakes in a row now from Bass, and we need him to kind of get straight back on it again.
I mean, do we retreat, guys, too early? We had this last year, and I'm watching a lot of football, and I look around a lot of football, and teams go 2-1 up, and we seem to really retreat as if, oh my God, it's like do or die for 20 minutes. We kind of seem to camp in our own half and punt it up, and we don't necessarily look to create, whereas other teams, I find, kind of feel like they want to put the game away or put the game to bed. That's the only thing I kind of feel like in the last couple of years. We've retreated so much, so early, so deep, that even on Saturday, we very rarely kind of gave them, right, we better leave one back because they're going to do this. Or, do you know what? We don't want to go too high because this guy is going to come at us, or they're going to try to score. I just didn't feel like, and I do feel like almost from the 70-minute mark, he makes those subs and we just sit for 20-odd minutes. And I don't feel that there's many teams, to be honest, who can do that and will get away with it. I don't think we are. I don't think there's many. I think if we, teams that will sit back and if it is a general punt, hold it up, but not trying to score, in this league, you're always going to get caught. And bearing in mind, remember, they scored 3 or 4 minutes before and it got chalked off. Do you think we go backwards too early?
I think we've always done that. I think a lot of teams do that, though, when they, do you know what I mean? Especially teams at our level, which we're going to be a mid-table team, like we've probably said before. My thing is, I think we've got to remember that we are missing two of our best players in Reeves and Little, and missing them early in the season, it hasn't helped us at all. I've said before, I'd like to see us line up with a 4-5-1. And people might go, well, that's negative, that's defensive. But it's not really, if you look at the four, if we go Curry, Johnson, what's his name, Lewis, and then Ogundia, Billa to come in. And then your five would be Nurfield, Tilly on either wing. And then you go Morgan Williams, Ball, and then you have, what's his face? Who have I left out? Lakin as your kind of, because I think Lakin can play, get forward. Williams can. Ball then sits if he has to. And then you have Ali up front on his own, working his socks off, and then hope he's going to get a chance. Because as good as Bugle, people think Bugle is, he don't score many goals. He missed again at sitter on Saturday. He does a little bit of the donkey work, but we don't need that at the moment. We need players who are going to get the ball down and play it, get the wingers in, Tilly scoring goals, get Ali in. And I think the formation doesn't help. But
remember though, Lee, I know I'm not overly arguing with you, but I am going to pull you up on it. we were brilliant in the first half. So what I'm saying is the 4-5-1 that you're talking about, I understand it, but I mean, you were there, Ollie. We absolutely slaughtered. We absolutely battered them for an hour. So they had one chance and they scored it. We made loads of chances. On another day, we could be 6 or 7 nil up. So I don't have a problem with the way that we're lining up in terms of what formation and who plays it. But we just need to find a way. And I feel like there's a team, and I don't know if you get the feel, Ollie, I feel there's a team that's going to get an absolute spanking from us at some point. But I don't know when it is, but I feel like that's going to be the moment where we get a little bit of that's where it will kick. I just feel like there's a team that's going to get absolutely spanked by us, and then we're going to go on a run.
My daughter keeps having a go at me because I keep saying, she says, what's the score going to be today, Dad? I go 4-1 because I'm with you. I honestly think it could have been Colchester, you know, when we played at Colchester. Yep. The question back to you, because this is what I think. I think if Reeves has been playing Saturday, I don't think that collapse happens. Because I think if you looked at him in those games, especially at Colchester, where Lee, you were standing just to my right up the back. And if you look at the way he organises everyone, he's
great
to everyone. And also the amount of work rate he puts in. But it's more that organisation and nous and just getting everyone on the same page. You know, I didn't really notice Johnson as captain on Saturday. I know he was. No. But...
Well, we didn't know. I was looking around like, who is actually captain? Because I thought it would be Joe Lewis, to be honest. When I looked around, I thought... I know Lee was like, well, he's not a permanent player. And that's a really good point. But I just felt when I watch a game, he's the one I feel as a captain type. And I mean, maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe we're just lacking a few guys who could wear an armband, who could go, right, okay, this is where we're at. I don't know.
The interesting one is, my daughter was in the autograph zone, which, by the way, is brilliant. All the players stop.
Where is it?
It's just down by the Phoenix, just through those metal gates.
Okay.
But all the players stopped, did autographs, did photos.
Oh, lovely.
I actually asked, Jake was there, so I got a photo of him and my daughter.
We should go, Lee.
I asked Jake, I said, when are you back? And he went, Monday.
Oh.
So
yeah, but that's got to be, he's got to get back to fitness as well, and he can't. Yeah. Hopefully, he'll be on the bench at least on Saturday. But yeah, I make you right with it. I have not been to the autograph zone, but my mate, you know, Gary Saxby, the big Irishman, he took his little boy because he's a massive Tilly fan. He's got Tilly on his shirt, and he said Tilly was brilliant. Took a photo of him, signed his shirt. But yeah, I don't know if Tilly's Irish, but Gary only goes after the Irish players because, as I said before, he's a massive Irishman. So, but he said the autograph zone is good. But yeah, just a bit worrying for me regarding the fact that, what is this, 5 times we've lost from winning positions? Chelsea's one of them, but you can kind of get over Chelsea because we're playing a Premier League team. But Forest Green, they got spanked the week after by a Crewe.
Yeah, 1-1.
Who else have we?
Newport,
when you're 2-0 up. This is
up to them.
In the last four games, we've been 2-0 up against two teams and we've picked up 0 points.
It's interesting, the fact that this was all happening last year as well. That's the really difficult thing that I can't get my head around is that we had this almost near the end of Robbo's tenure.
But
we then had it with Jackson's. We've now got it now. It's a brand new team, so you can't really blame the players because it's a new team. So it must be either it's not him. So you're either thinking, right, is it us making an environment where we're almost putting that onto the players and therefore they find it difficult, which that can't be the right answer because they're professionals. But it is just, there has to be a way of doing it, or we just have to go, no, it's not about holding on, it's about finishing. It's actually the other end. We're wasting so many chances that it shouldn't be a problem.
I think that's it. And I think Ollie was spot on earlier when he said it's totally different to last year. And I've seen a lot of people I get along with and stuff, and a lot of people on social media proper losing their shit regarding it. Like, toys are right out of pram, Jackson out already. I've seen a couple of people, which I think is nonsense. I think it's silly to be saying stuff like that because it's a totally different team. And as we said earlier, we could have been 4 or 5 nil up against Crewe. Newport could have been the same. It's just individual errors, unfortunately, have cost us in these games that's it. Even Stockport, I think Stockport had 2 chances all game. If Tilly takes him out, that doesn't happen, that first goal. We might then go nick a second because they're chasing after us. But yeah, I think people just need to calm down a little bit, but the players now need to respond, go 1-0 up, 2-0 up, and then, do you know what I mean? Let's keep that and walk away with 3 points and a clean sheet and a 2-0 win.
Ollie, wanted to ask you about Nerfville. We talk about him a lot. He kind of, I really like him at times, but he drives me mental. I don't know, where do you sit? Is he consistent enough? I don't know if you listen regularly, but we talk a lot about Curry and without Curry doing the overlaps. What's your thoughts on Nerfville?
I thought it was one of his better games on Saturday.
Yeah.
To be honest, I thought because he knew he had Curry and a bit of support coming around behind him, that he looked lively. I mean, he had a chance second half where he completely outgassed the right cut in.
Yeah.
And there was a weak shot just past the post. I like him, but I do think Sasu is really knocking on the door.
Yeah.
To get a start. You know, it won't do Josh any harm to have a bit of a rest. Just give him a go. Because, you know, when Sasu played against Coventry, you know, he's playing against...
I thought it was great. Yeah,
two divisions above. And he's absolutely... Fair enough, it'd be some of their second choice. But he absolutely killed the bloke first half. Is it right that he was a centre-forward and we've turned him into a winger?
Sasu? Yeah, that's the rumour.
That's what I've heard. But I don't know if anyone knows enough that they've watched the youth for... Again, I heard he was a... That's what I always thought. He was a striker. He's a centre-forward. And we're trying to make him into a winger. Because you don't get too many six-foot-plus wingers, do you, really? There's not many. They're usually slight, small. But I just... Yeah, I think that he... I think he is massively knocking on the door. But Nerfield, the last two games... I even thought he had an OK game against Stockport. I thought he got the ball down well. He tried to make things happen. Well, I think we just got to see. And Sasu's just got to take a chance if he gets in.
So many great qualities in terms of he's obviously got pace to burn. Like you said, Ollie, the way that he went past that, I think it was in front of me, he just kicked it and went absolutely flying past the defender. The defender just was completely lost. I think he's got so many real positives about his game that I think he's definitely an asset. I always feel like him, Tilly's played so well because he plays on the right and obviously kind of tucks in whenever he wants to, or he comes left and goes right, whichever way you want to look at it. I wonder whether his success has been to the detriment of Nerfield and the fact that he's been so good without it. The other thing, Ollie, I wanted to ask was about Ball and Lakin. Interested in your opinions. Lakin, I think, has got quite dynamic. I quite like him, actually. I think he's got a little bit of spite and I think he's quite a clever player who I think at our level will look great, but he's obviously going to play I think he did another bit on Saturday. I find Ball really difficult sometimes. I find him really slow to get the ball going. Often I'm like, just pass it, get going, get going, get going. And I feel like he kind of delays it, but I know they're not Little or Reeves, but I'm interested in your opinion on those two guys, obviously as lone players, where they sit with you.
Well, Ball's ours, isn't he?
He's Ball's ours?
Yeah, two-year deal.
I didn't know that. Okay, that's
Ball's a permanent player. Huh?
Yeah. I think, do you know what? Ball does the ugly stuff, right? He does all that stuff of picking up in front of the back four. He does the ugly stuff. He's a threat at corners and things because he's 6'4". I think he'll come into it. Obviously, he's had first five games of the season. He's stuck behind Armani and Jake because no one's knocking them out of the team. Lakin, I think he's the one who's going to create. He's going to create stuff from the midfield. You know, he's the one who's going to get it down and pass it. I haven't seen enough of him to probably give a proper verdict on him.
My thing with Ball, I feel like he's been a bit unlucky in the fact that what you just said there, Ollie, regarding Reeves and Little. Reeves and Little come in. Little, as I said, his form last year fell off a cliff. He came in, first five games, everyone was going mental how good this kid was. And then he was rubbish for the rest of the season, if we're honest. And then this year he's come and it's like, well, this is the player that we saw in the first five games and he's doing it every week now. But then I think it helps that he's got Reeves next to him. And I think if Little was out of the team and Ball came in, it was Ball and Reeves, I think Ball would look a little bit better. Reeves does make our team so much better and he makes the players around him so much better. And I think we saw that when we were playing Colchester and things like that and we didn't look like conceding, where now Reeves has dropped out of the team, we do look like we're going to concede quite often. But yeah, I think it's just one of them things really. But we want to wrap it up. Anything else you want to say, boys, before we move on?
No, I'm just begging for Ali Alhamadi just to get something in off his arse, off his elbow. I don't really care how. I feel like once he does that, And I'm with Ollie. I think there is a team that's going to get a serious good hiding from us in the next month. And I think it might coincide for the with Ali Al-Hamidi scoring. But yeah, I'm with you actually. I'm not too concerned because I think the performances are good, but it is just the continual loss of leads is like a dirty hangover that we can't get rid of. And it'd be lovely at some point if we can get rid of it.
Yeah, if it happens again on Saturday, that's when I'll start to get worried.
I feel like the Ali chat, though, is a bit like Groundhog Day. We say this every podcast. We can't wait for him to score off his ass. But, yeah, he doesn't seem to be scoring. That's my worry. We haven't got strikers.
Maybe he just needs a bigger ass. Maybe
we're relying heavily on Tilly, which if he goes, we're in trouble. But anyway, we'll move on. And when we come back, Danny's going to talk us through the Wimbledon fantasy football.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Welcome back. We're going to be discussing the Wimbledon fantasy football. So Danny's had this great idea, and I've looked through it, and it's one of his better ideas, to be fair. I don't want to say it too much, but I was actually quite, when I got it and actually looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, this is decent. But Danny, yeah, I don't want to talk over it. It's your show. Go on.
Well, it obviously shows that I've had a couple of free periods this week that I've decided that I've been hearing loads of people talking about, oh, could you imagine if they made a team of AFC Wimbledon and Wimbledon players and how that would kind of play out? And we do at work, we do the fantasy football team, you know, the Premier League, but we do a draft system where no one can have the same player. So I was having a chat about it and they were like, and I was just sitting there like, I wonder what it would be like if I could get an AFC Wimbledon and a Wimbledon team and kind of make a fantasy team out of them based on the stats. So obviously you get points for scoring, points for playing, points for assists, lose points for yellow and red cards. So in my stupid time I've basically created a database of loads of players. I've given them a basic ranking, which I'm going to kind of play around with maybe tonight or tomorrow morning. And then I've thought what we could do is we'll put it out to the masses and we'll see if anyone's interested to do it, and we can compare which players are interested, whether I've got some of the numbers wrong, whether I've missed any players. So I thought I'd just quickly tell you through the database and give you an idea of some of the prices and who your early kind of picks might be.
Yeah, now, as I said, I looked into it. I loved it. I've sent it to Ollie so he could have a little play and look at it.
Oh, Ollie's had a look. Oh, yeah, lovely. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, amazing. Right.
I'll tell you what, some of your ratings are, some of your prices for players. Wow. There's no 2 million.
I mean, no, don't need. We're not mucking about with 2 million. The world's moved on, Ollie.
Well, Joe, our graphics guy, I sent it to Joe and said, look, anything you can do with this, do you know what I mean, for going forward, like, and he's like looked at it, he's done a spreadsheet, which I sent that, I don't think Danny's had time to look at, but he said, yeah, you need 2 million people, otherwise the maths don't work out. And as I said, well, unfortunately, yeah, Danny's not a maths teacher, he's a PE teacher, so you remember he's had a couple of blows there, here and there. So
that's out of order. But what I will do is I promise that by the, I might, if I get the chance, if Dolly doesn't wake up, I might do it. But let me just run through some of the height. In fact, yeah, why don't we do it, if Ollie's, have you done it, Ollie? Have you got like a vague...
I've got a few teams based on different formations.
Oh, this is super. I knew you'd be the right man
but
for the job.
It's bloody hard because the way you've done it is that obviously 50 million, I think you said, yeah, wasn't it? 50 million across
50
the
mil. 11. It's got to be 11 players. Yeah, so just to be clear, you've got to have at least 5 of both Wimbledon and AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah. Okay. There's some players you've got to have. And then
so I've kind of filled it in. I mean, I've basically come up with 10 keepers. So to everyone out there, I've kind of basically got 10 keepers, 5 Wimbledon, 5 AFC Wimbledon. I think I've got 20 AFC Wimbledon defenders, 20 Wimbledon defenders.
Yeah, and I've had a massive shit fit over one of the goalkeepers.
Yeah, you have, yeah. And then I've done the same with the midfielders and I've done the same with the forwards. So I'll kind of give you a little flavour of some of the pricing, which will obviously change, but I've got people like Andy Little, I've got from AFC Wimbledon, he's at 3 million. Ramsdale's at 6 million, which is quite expensive. Saniv at 4, whereas Wimbledon have got Sullivan, Besson at 5, Hans Seegers at three, which is disappointing because I absolutely love Hans Seegers.
This is the one for me. That's
is he going to keep a clean sheet? He never kept a clean sheet, is he? But he does say penalties. But
that was ridiculous. 3 million
and assists.
And assists. Yeah. I guess now you put it that way, yeah. And assists.
And he'll throw the odd game, won't he? So.
So let me just give you a couple of interesting ones, defenders, midfielders and forwards, and I'd love to see what Ollie comes up with. So obviously the biggest defender is Matt Everard, who scores goals, keeps clean sheets. I put him at 8 million on the fact of I didn't want anyone... I kind of went for the Haaland debate, which is if you buy him, basically you've got to go with some nonsense with it. But from AFC Women, I've got Everard at 8, notable ones, people like Danny Okins at 5, I've got Deji Oshilaja, Joe Lewis and Curry at 4s. Got Darius at 5. I thought that was about right.
My problem, sorry, Dan.
With many other things.
You've got Joe Lewis, right? Yeah. He's not even our player. He is a loanee. You know that, right?
Yeah, but he's still currently in the squad, isn't he?
Why not put Johnson in it?
Well, I could put Johnson in there, but I picked Joe Lewis, all right? We can put Johnson in if you like.
Kimball's a good one here, though.
Kimball. I've got Kimball at 5 million because I always thought he takes free kicks.
You've only got Thatcher at 4.
Yeah, because I think Kimball's going to assist more than Thatcher, and Thatcher's going to get sent off. And...
Yeah, but you can't do the pricing on if they'll get sent off.
No, you do the pricing based on how many points they get. No, that's how it works.
Yeah, but they've never ever scored any points.
But what I mean is, Ollie, who's going to score more points in the season, Alan Kimball or Ben Thatcher? don't you dare side with Lee. Don't you even think about it.
Do you think it's poor?
I think it's probably Kimball because
because
he took corners, right?
Correct. He took corners, took free kicks, never scored, ever get booked. Always played 90 minutes. Thatcher's going to get sent off. Thatcher's a better player than Alan Kimball. Let's be honest.
Sorry.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Well,
I was just looking at your midfielders and I just saw one off the bat. I've not really had time to really look at it.
No, you haven't, have you?
And I'm looking, and I've just seen Billy Knott. At 5 million pounds.
I thought he was good. He's good. He got assists. I even put Steve Ferguson.
But you got Vinnie Jones as 4 million.
Yes, because he scored at Highbury, but he kept getting sent off.
You got Billy Knott at the same price as Ainsworth.
Yeah.
And Neil Hardley.
Yeah. And what?
You got Trond Anderson at 3 million.
Yeah, he's never going to do anything.
Absolute ridiculous pricing. Right,
what is wrong with Trond Anderson at 3 million?
You've got poor old Gareth Graham, friend of the show, being on. You've only got him at 2 mil. It'll be low at 2 mil now, 3 mil.
Yeah, but Gareth Graham was always injured, never scored a goal. you're chatting nonsense, fam.
As I said, I'm not.
Anyway, so the midfield highlights, Tilly obviously scored loads at 7.
He's only been with us half a season.
You don't understand how this works.
Yeah, Crawley, he scored 11 goals his whole career.
We're not talking about him at Crawley, are we? We're talking about him
because this would have gone out at the start of the season,
wouldn't
it?
Well, it won't, was it? Because we've only just made it up, Lee.
Lewis, sorry, Ollie, are you having Tilly at 7 million even though he's only played, 8 games?
No, it's too expensive.
Thank you.
At the moment, on the data that we have, he is basically sensational. He's Lee 2 Haaland.
My favourite one in the midfield, though, was Dennis Wise at 5. I mean, bargain. Absolute bargain. Yeah,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've got to give the fans what they want.
He's gone, and you've only done this because you love the geezer, Rob Urcel at £8 million.
Robert Urcel was outrageous. He scored goals, assisted goals, and we always kept clean sheets in that league. That league.
You got Robbie Hill at 8 million, and Robbie Hill didn't score loads. He scored.
Are you joking?
Not loads, though.
Don't be stupid. He played every minute, scored goals. He was sensational.
Ridiculous, some of this.
Right. Well, Do you know what, Lee? I actually don't want you to play anymore.
I absolutely love it. I am absolutely all over this.
And then I did forwards, obviously, Kevin Cooper. Now, it's a little bit easier with the forwards because it's basically a goal scorers. So I've gone Lyle Taylor, 8 million, with Kevin Cooper, because Kevin Cooper and Taylor both scored loads of goals.
Kevin Cooper's our all-time record goal scorer.
Correct.
And he scored 50 goals a season against people like me and you. So
why don't you put him at 15 million then? For sake. I've got John Maynard and Kedwell, both at 7 million, because the strikers are always more expensive than everyone else. I've got Tom Elliott at 4 million, Akinfenwa 5, Richard Butler, 6 million. 4s, are we allowed to? Are we a loan player? Can we have him in? Yes, he's in. 6 million.
I give you 4s.
Okay, thank you. But we can't have someone else who's a lone player. Absolute hypocrisy. You got Asau, 7 million.
You've
Midson.
Noland.
Five. I've got
Noland. I don't even remember him.
I've run out of forwards. I've got Jason New and Carl Quarter sixes. David Connolly scored loads at seven. Fashion, who's expensive, at six. Anyway.
You got Sonic, right, at 4 million.
Yeah.
He literally played about.
He gets a million for every offside he gets per 10 minutes.
Where's Alan Cork? That's what I want to know.
I'm waiting. This is the point of the conversation.
Noland over Alan Cork.
It's official. I'm getting rid of Alan Noland.
You can't put Cork in at 3 million.
Well, no, I can change it though, can't I?
And also, the only problem I've got...
Live edit.
The only problem I've got, right? People can't see this. This is obviously live radio, right?
How much is Alan Cork worth, Ollie?
Well, he's got to be seven or eight, isn't he?
What?
He's our record. He's Wimbledon's record goal scorer.
Jesus.
He's making ridiculous.
7 million for Alan Cork. No one's going to buy him.
Right. Yeah, and also, you didn't do it in value order. You did it in, I don't know what order you put it in. It's really hard to read sometimes.
If you just look at it, it's AFC Wimbledon players at the top, Wimbledon players at the bottom.
But not in price order.
Well, of course he's not going to be in price order.
That's how they do it in the papers.
No, they don't. They do it by club order, Lee.
Yeah, but and then it goes in.
Well, then, when I go over the new thing that you want me to do, because apparently all my numbers are wrong. Jesus Christ!
No, they're not. Speak to Joe Mojo. You can't drop on that.
Do you know what, Lee? I've had enough of you already. Ollie, tell me through. Give me a flavour of what from the current pricing, which obviously will change.
Give us one each. One from each section.
No, I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
I don't want a full squad.
Ollie, I want a team.
Okay, I've got it.
Hold on. What's your fantasy team name? That's the best bit.
Oh, God knows. I haven't even thought of that far.
I've got no hair, but I don't care. Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Fine. Okay. Go on then. Talk us through your team. What your thought process was.
So the 50 million budget was a struggle, right? Yeah, so I spent right up to it. So Seager's in goal.
Because
he's cheap. He's a cheap goalkeeper.
Yeah, 3 million's ridiculous.
Legend.
Did you manage to keep with the five women at AFC and the five and the... the balance?
3 million.
Yeah, I've got... Wait up. Here we go. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I've got six old school.
Okay.
I like that in you.
I've always respected you. Right, so Hans Seeger's in goal. Who's your defenders? Who have you gone for?
Right, first up, Matt Everard.
Yes,
You've got to blow the budget on that.
I think everyone's... It's like Holland. Everyone's picking Everard.
Yeah.
Lee, you were out of this conversation.
Well, Everard's going to get you 50 goals.
Your behaviour...
He's going to get you 50 assists.
Your behaviour has been deplorable.
And he'll get you 50 clean sheets.
Anyway, let's hear from Ollie, a more educated man. Ollie. Right.
So then another one, although the red card thing's a bit of an issue here, Danny Okins.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you've gone nostalgic.
No, he scored loads of goals. I remember it was the combined counties league, but he scored loads of goals.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Sorry, Ollie.
Stay out of it.
No. Where's Howard?
He was considered, but
Frankie,
I didn't put him
no
in the
Frankie
group.
Howard,
I'm happy to put him in the group. Who are you going to take out though, Lee?
I don't know.
Right, well there you are then.
But
Joe Lewis, do you want me to take him out?
Yeah, but you got a lonely in there. You ain't got
right,
a legend.
I'll take
like
Joe Lewis out.
Ridiculous.
Fine, I'll leave it at four. I've taken Joe Lewis out. Right,
sorry,
that's your fault.
Ollie,
sorry, Joe.
I was just sorry, Ollie. Sorry.
Right,
and
then,
Ollie, carry on.
Because then I picked the midfield and forwards. I was struggling for a couple of other defenders. So I had to look in the bargain basement, 3 million.
Right.
So I went for Eric Young.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Just
the ninja.
Pop up with a goal occasionally. And then you'll love this one because the amount of abuse this guy used to get. George Frankham. Again, assist.
3 million, though.
Solid. Played every game pretty much.
Ridiculous pricing.
Go with George Frankham.
Okay.
Wow. I'm gonna have money left over with my team.
All right. Well, you don't know your numbers, do you? And who's your midfield, Ollie? Go on.
My midfield is a bunch of wingers. Got four wingers.
That is sensational.
I was desperate to get Marcus Gale in there, but I couldn't find the extra million in my budget to get him.
Some people
a midfielder. Marcus Gale was a midfielder.
That's why.
Because he played up front. He played up front after being a left winger.
He's a left winger, Lee.
This is ridiculous.
Well, if Mo Salah at the moment, he's a midfielder on the game.
I've not seen anything like this.
Right. Well, then don't take part.
I love it.
I don't want you to play anymore.
Danny, I think it's superb.
No, heart's not
right. So then midfielders, wingers, should I say. Right. Dennis Wise.
Wise?
Dennis Wise, Neil Ardley.
Okay.
Andy Bartram, who's a steal. Yeah, of 4 million.
Yeah, Andy Bartram's good, yeah.
No end product.
Yeah, but that's worth 4 million.
And then Carlton Fairweather.
Oh, I love Carlton Fairweather. You avoided the James Tilly bomb. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, of course he did. He only played 8 games.
Shut
you
up, Lee.
No one picks James
Tilly. You can only afford 1.8 million here. That's the only way you could do it.
I do feel like my pricing must change. Shut up, Lee. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a maths teacher. Right, never mind that.
Go
right.
on, Ollie. Sorry, you're striking.
Right. Who else have you got?
Centre forwards was a bit of a struggle because there's actually quite a few options here.
Very much so.
So I went for Terry Gibson and John Fashanu.
Wow.
Reuniting them. But then I looked at what I was then looking back. You've also got, for the same prices, those two, you've got Ollie Palmer, whatever you thought, he always scored. You've got Holdsworth.
Yeah, Holdsworth, sensational.
I'm almost like he's a bit of a franchise idiot. And, and was a complete prick when he came to us as manager in Newport. So there's always that. But you've also got Tom Elliott at 4.
Yeah.
That's cracking value there.
Yes.
So yeah, between those ones, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
So didn't consider Richard Butler, no? The bloke who, whenever he was running around, he always looked tired, no matter what stage of the game. He was just constantly exhausted.
And fell over a lot in the penalty box and got his penalties. He did.
So apart from, you know, Lee, you just completely slaughtering my hours of endeavour.
I love it.
No, you don't. You're just saying that.
It's good fun. It's good fun. It was trying to pull it together, but also you've left it open. You could have any formation you want, so you could turn it around a bit.
I'm definitely going to play around with the numbers.
We will put this out to the wider fan base, but yeah, Danny needs to work on some of his numbers and.
What do you mean, Danny does. That's it.
Joe sent you a spreadsheet. Have a look at the spreadsheet, and there's some good stuff in there, man.
All right. But Joe's made up a spreadsheet once in his life.
I'll quickly go over it because we don't want to go on this too much, even though I've never lost so much. Long, goalkeeper, 3 million. He's my goalkeeper straight away. I thought he was mustard for us.
Yeah, he was good, Jam.
I'd have Everard, Hussey, straight away. Strikers, I think, Elliot's unbelievable. 4-6 million. Struggling otherwise because the pricing is ridiculous. Nolan's your cheapest one and Blissett. You know what I mean?
But now, though, you've literally got to do everyone else has got to be from Wimbledon.
And then
not AFC Wimbledon because you picked Peter
Fear, 3 million. Stuart Castledine, he'd be fuming with his 3 million as well. But right. Danny,
he's on it.
I've absolutely loved it. But the question I've got for you two, right?
Oh, here we go.
Is I said this to Ollie in the message saying, when you're picking a team, do you pick your favourite player, like one you really like? Like Alvin Leonardson, would you go, right, I love him, I'll have him in? Or would you go, right, I need to think about who's going to score me points? Obviously, at the moment, obviously, the pricing is skewed a little bit. But, yeah, are you picking your favourite player or one that you think is going to get you your points?
I think it's a bit of both. Like Seegers was my hero growing up, so he's got to be in the team. And actually, it goes the other way as well. When I look at certain players on the list, like Holdsworth, Court, so I don't want them in my team. I can't have those blokes in my team.
I'm with Ollie. I think it's very, very. I always have like a couple of people in the Premier League. I'm like, I think you're all right. I might just keep you in. So, and I'm always a little bit biased towards homegrown Wimbledon players. So people like, for me, people like Jason Yule, I'm always trying to get into the team because obviously. I like those guys, but it is difficult because, like I said, I even forgot about Seegers because Ollie was like, oh, it's an assist. Of course, back then, him and Besson were just launching it. So, yeah, now you put it that way, I guess you have to kind of think a bit cute. But
I can't see many people picking Paul Heald, if I'm honest, Dan.
Well, that's up to them, isn't it? I'm not here to. If you can think of five, I couldn't pick Simon Tracy because he was absolute shambles twice.
Well,
Terry Digweed. I couldn't pick
grand.
Many others. I thought Kelvin Davis was good value.
Kelvin Davis should be in there over Paul. Paul Hill's an
he is there.
Okay, coach, mate.
Kelvin Davis is there.
Yeah, I'm still not picking him. Long at 3 million or Sega's at 3 million is just unbelievable pricing. But remember, the guys and girls who are listening, this the pricing that we've spoke about on this podcast might not be the pricing when this goes live.
No, I might actually do a proper job of it.
I don't want
try
you to,
and give some value somewhere.
I don't want you to feel downhearted because I think it's
I'm absolutely disgusted at you.
I feel bad. But
yeah, we should feel bad.
It's a great idea, and I've loved every minute of it, Danny.
Your heart's not in it.
Dan, who's your? Have you picked the team?
Nah, I don't want to talk about it. I'm too emotional.
You picked all 8 million. Ones,
I would have gone basically in terms of a goalkeeper. I normally would have gone heavy at the end, and I'd have gone literally. I'd have picked Everard. I would have picked Cooper, and I would have picked
16 million pound of your budget.
And I'd have picked Michael Hughes, and then after that, I'm just picking the cheapest people I can find.
You got 23 million gone.
Yeah, and I'm literally going to pick everyone else at 3 million.
And unfortunately, your pricing,
which is exactly you can't
pick
under
any
budget.
More people.
Right. Do you know what? I'm sick of this.
we're going to move on.
You're going to move on.
And when we come back, we're going to pick the perfect Don.
As long as it fits in with these criteria.
We're back in a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be talking about the perfect Don. So you have to pick one player to fill a criteria that would make the one perfect player. So they are between mental, physical and skill. So you've got football IQ, strength, finishing, determination, aggression. I'm going to put that into one. Technique, consistency, engine and heading. All right. So for me, I'm going to start. All right. And with football IQ, I'm going to stick in Joe Kinnear for me. Because I thought his IQ.
As a player?
No, as a.
What is going on here?
No, here
Joe Kinnear. Here we go.
Because I had a go.
I'm fighting back now.
Because I had a go at Isby.
Joe Kinnear.
Tactical. Yeah, because football IQ, tactical. It don't have to. It's one.
He's not a
Wimbledon
player,
man.
Is he? We're picking
one
the. We're
Wimbledon
picking the
person.
We're picking the perfect player, and you come off the bat with Joe Kinnear.
Perfect player.
Ollie, please.
Right, Ollie.
Bring some sanity.
Ollie, one second. We're picking the perfect Don, not the perfect player. Ain't that what you were just about to say, Ollie?
Oh, to be fair, that's exactly what I was about to say. Although I'll pick you up on Kinnear. I'm not having Kinnear.
Correct.
The brains behind... If you're going to have someone in that era, it's Terry Burton. He was the brains Good behind
chat.
Kinnear.
Good shout.
I think...
Friend of the pod.
If you're going that way, then yeah. I mean, I think from a footballing IQ, in terms of someone who was just seemed to be on a different planet and a different pay to everybody else, I'd be tempted with Michael Hughes.
You're not having him in technique or something like that?
No. In terms of footballing IQ, in terms of here's a ball, where should it go? What should we do? I think he's up there. I think Jake Reeves at the moment, the way that he basically orchestrates the whole game, I think is pretty impressive as well.
Or if you're just going on IQ, you've got Laurie Sanchez. Didn't he have a degree?
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, yeah. So
we can't pick fashionable. We can't have people that are woogering. No. I
like the Terry Burton shout. Actually.
I think Terry Burton's a great shout.
My shout was actually pretty bad.
Yeah, it was. But glad you've admitted it as well.
But it's the perfect Don, not the perfect player. Actually,
okay. Well, that's fine. Well, then we're going to agree with Ollie there.
I think we should. Yeah, I think Terry Burton goes in as the football IQ because Michael Hughes for me can be used in other position or
okay.
Other
well, I'm happy
criteria.
To. I'm definitely happy around with that.
Right, so strength. I get we've got to agree on this one straight away off the bat, haven't we?
That's like in FEMA, isn't it?
Akinfenwa straight off the bat. Yeah,
absolute not, monster.
Have you seen a stronger player for Wimbledon FC, AFC Wimbledon in your... Everard could be put up there, but I'm going to put him in another category. But your the strength... I can't remember Wimbledon FC, a player stronger.
Not really. And the thing with Akinfenwa as well is I felt he got... And actually, I think that one of the reasons why he got released was the fact that the amount of games... particularly in the season we went up, where people would run into him, bash into him, fall over, and I can remember like, what's he doing? Yeah. He was so strong, but he gave away so many fouls for not doing anything wrong. He was just really strong. I always thought Darius was quite strong as well, you know. I didn't see many people pushing him about. But yeah, I don't think we can argue back in Fenwell.
Nah, the only one from the Wimbledon era who's of a similar size and was also a bit mental was Brian Gale. Not Brian
I was going to say Brian
John,
Gale.
No, John Gale is what I'm thinking of.
Brian Gale's a defender, isn't he?
Yeah,
John Gale's Gale, that massive John, bloke up front.
Yeah. But Bayo all day long.
Bayo, yeah. Right, that's easy. Right, okay. Next one was finishing. Who are we putting in for finishing? Like, I think I know who Ollie's going to go with, but we had I had John Main.
Yeah.
Got Lyle Taylor.
No.
You got your Piggott.
Yeah, I think Piggott's a better finisher than Taylor.
You got your Wimbledon days as well. You got your Dean Oldsworth.
Yeah, he'd be up there.
I know Ollie would say no way, but yeah, you've got. I think I know who Ollie's going to say.
Well done. Well, Ollie, who are you going to say?
Do you know what? I actually was going. It was before I saw this. It was either Kevin Cooper.
Yeah,
because you know scored a lot of goals finishing, or Lyle Taylor.
Really? Do you think Lyle Taylor's that good a finisher?
He was just always very calm. I mean, look at the penalties he takes for Charlton. Well, was taking for Charlton before.
Yeah, but do you remember how many he missed for us, though?
Yeah.
But that's why he changed his technique, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're talking for us, not for Charlton.
Yeah, Ollie.
Screw Charlton.
You thought I was going to say Lee Finch from your supporters role up front.
I thought you were going to say Alan Cork.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, to be fair, I'm old, but I only got to the end of his career. Really the last 5 years with us, 4 years with us.
I think I would really struggle to pick to get away from David Connolly as well. Because I think he was a really good finisher. I mean, it would be between Holdsworth, Connolly and Cooper for me.
For me, it's Holdsworth, Connolly and Main. John Main's finishing was unbelievable.
Main, I wouldn't and fight you.
Remember
on Main,
the game against... Who did we play? Hornchurch or one of them where he just everything he touched, he finished.
Main was definitely a better finisher than Kedwell.
Yeah, well, that's a given, mate.
Well, it's not a given, is it? Far from it. But I'm just explaining.
Oh, you've got the right up because we
big time
dug you out earlier.
Slagged off my 35 minutes of work today.
I think for me, it's Holdsworth. Connolly was okay, but he didn't have as many seasons, but
I won't fight you on it. For Holdsworth, Cooper, Main, I can see any of those three.
Yeah,
I'm
not having Holdsworth because it's supposed to be a perfect Don. So,
right, fine, Well, I'm happy with that. So it's got
unless you say it's just his finishing and nothing about the bloke himself.
Well, it's just that's it. his finishing goes into this perfect Don. That's it. I can't have Cooper because he was playing against people like me and you.
So he still can finish, though. There's a lot of goals.
He should be finishing, though, against a big fat guy in a goal. Wow. Do you know what I mean? It's between...
But the goalkeeper doesn't necessarily impact on the finisher.
I would say he couldn't beat me. I saved a penalty from him in that supporters game.
Right, well, there you are. Right, well, the fact that Ollie saved the Kevin Cooper goal means that he is out. So we're going for John Main, basically.
I'd still think Dean Oldsworth. I really do think Dean.
Yeah, but Ollie has already made it clear that he can't be selected due to.
If it's just on the finishing, we'll have him.
All right, what's up, Tula? You either, as host, you can.
It's got to be for me.
Over.
I was just looking at the stat. Holdsworth scored 19 in 34 in the Prem, 17 in the Prem. He was getting. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
Whereas John Main was scoring what, though?
Well, against the
Buckets.
Conference South people.
Yeah, but he's still. He's not.
I'm talking about someone in the Premiership.
I don't necessarily think. Was he a league footballer, do you think? Was he a league?
No, he didn't.
Exactly. So he's probably playing at the right level. I think whatever we say, you're going to say Dean Holdsworth because you've got your Dean Holdsworth glasses on. I have warned you about those.
I can be outvoted here.
No, there's no point. We've just spoken about it, and you keep going about Dean Holdsworth like some sort of lovesick puppy.
John Main's in. Go.
Oh, right, okay.
Finishing. So we've got...
Common sense prevails.
Our football IQ is Terry Burton, strength, Bayo Akinfenwa, and John Main finishing.
Why not?
Determination, aggression. I think there's
Hold
only
on.
One.
Determination or aggression, which one?
Both, innit? Ain't that the same thing?
No, aggression would be Vinnie Jones, and there's no one else to do it. Yeah. But determination is going to be slightly different.
Yeah, aggression's definitely Vinnie Jones, 100%. Right, I don't think
or Ben Thatcher. You can.
I still think Vinnie Jones.
Or MC Harvey, you know, in the sort of Croydon nightclub days.
Yeah, so I think Vinnie Jones gets in aggression. Determination, then. Because
doesn't stop.
Yeah, I've got one here. I've got one who could actually go across both.
Oh,
Gareth Ainsworth.
Yep. 100%.
That head tackle he did at Selhurst, can't remember who it was against, where he literally flew into the bloke's boot on the ground.
I was talking about his two goals up at St James's when we were 3-1 down and we drew 3-all.
What about Jamie Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh, good one.
Both again. Determination.
He's very determined and very aggressive / volatile.
I've got.
Depends on which way.
I've got another one as well.
Go on.
Barry Fuller.
Yeah, determination, definitely.
Yeah.
Not sure he's I would call him aggressive.
I would.
But, all right.
Because aggression don't mean you have to go smashing people. Aggression means you go in and win your tackles then, which he did.
But no, that's determination. Aggression means you go a little
both.
Bit.
Both. No, but determination, aggression, that's what I said.
Determination / aggression or determination brackets aggression.
Yeah, that.
Right. He hasn't got a clue what he doesn't know a bracket. He would know a bracket if he hit him in the face.
Right, oh yeah, Moody, right. Where are we going, Ollie?
I've got another one. Darius, promotion season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Who are we saying?
I like the Barry Fuller shout.
What, for determination?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good shout by me, to be fair.
Right. If you want to have it, have it.
Danny won't give it to me because it's me.
No,
he's
I won't. No, of he's course not.
If people could, I might put this video out because if people could see him, he is seeming. Right, yeah, so Barry Fuller goes in determination, Vinnie Jones in his aggression. Right, technique. Who are we putting in as the perfect Don for technique? We had one, the shout earlier, Michael Hughes could go in. Alvin Leonardson could go in.
Robert Ursell. Yeah. Technically was very, very good, I thought, at our level.
Jake Reeves could go in.
Billy Knott, I thought, was technically, I think he was excellent. You can mug him off if you like.
7 mil.
And I'll tell you who else actually was very, very technically gifted was Lyle Taylor. I think he was technically excellent. I don't think there's many people who could say that he wasn't a very good technical player.
Jake Reeves.
Yeah.
Jake Reeves would be decent. Sammy Moore?
Nah, I'm not even saying
that. Nah. Dennis Wise?
Dennis Wise was very good technically.
What about 8 mil James Tilley?
Well, you can't ever pick him because he's only a small sample size. We did that earlier. It's a joke. Well, go on then, you two, Bods. I'm getting slaughtered.
What do you think, Ollie? There's quite a few for technique.
I quite like Earth.
Yeah, thank you, Oliver. I appreciate that.
What a player he was to watch as well. I wish the kids that watch us now could have watched Rob Ursel. Because you think there's a few youngsters like your little one, my little one, like they never see Rob Ursel. And he was such, I think you're right there with technique. I think we have to bring Rob Ursel in it and put him in because some of the goals and some of the stuff he did. As I said, I wish some of our youngsters, our younger fans, could have watched Rob Ursel.
I just don't remember seeing many football players in any football where I looked at him and they could do what he did. And some of the goals was just like, what are you? How has he even done that?
The one I always remember is the FA Cup goal. I think it was a couple where he turned and just lobbed the geezer and the other one was the volley. Just unbelievable.
High quality. Yeah, really good. I think Ursel for me, Ursel and Michael Hughes. I don't. It's horses for courses for me, but yeah, those two.
I think we'll stick Rob Ursel in his technique. Consistency. There's only one for me on this one.
But Robbie L.
Robbie L. 100%. Mr. Consistent. He was every game. What, eights? I can't remember him having one bad game.
Him, I think Leonardson as well is an honourable mention. I don't remember many bad games. And Kenny Cunningham and Chris Perry, actually.
Kenny Cunningham is just
Mr. Consistent, isn't he? Like, I don't even remember Kenny Cunningham making mistakes, let alone being poor. But like you said, it's very, very hard to go against Robbie. We spoke a lot about Wimbledon players, though. Any AFC Wimbledon players who you put in that bracket?
No, because we haven't been overly consistent. Maybe non-league days we had a few, but like Kevin Cooper that was consistent, you know what I mean? He scored most goals, but it was hard. Recently, we haven't had many people that have been consistently good. Consistently bad, I could pick a few.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, I know there'll be youngsters now who only watch the AFC Wimbledon will be telling us, and some of the people that have jumped Mick Doyle and people like that have come recently will tell us. But yeah, for me, it has to be Robbie L in my book for Mr. Consistency.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that.
You know, one we forgot, there's some honourable mentions on some of them. Technique and stuff. We forgot first Kevin Cooper.
What, the No.
What do you mean?
I'm not having him in
the
same.
Did you watch the same Wimbledon games as us, Danny? Or something?
I went. I was at Red Jacket Man game and he scored the winner. All right, we're all there.
Was you Red Jacket Man and you've had some sense beating?
No, but that was without that
Red Jacket Man
on
a day.
Bizarre 5 or 10 minutes.
What a man!
So funny.
Get
so
out of the story.
I know Red Jacket Man runs out, turns up.
Do you know the story of Red Jacket?
Battered out, went home.
You know the story? So he got kicked out for his own safety because he was in that corner giving it to a load of Millwall fans. He got kicked out, but one of his mates was a Millwall fan and he was giving him stick. So he went into the Millwall end to meet his friend, and then they also realised who he was and then beat the
crap
out of
him. That cannot be true.
And it was something like out of the movies where there was a circle of guys punching him. And then around them, there was a circle of guys punching them. And then it was like...
Right,
you know,
we need to... I'm putting a campaign out about finding Red Jacket Man.
He was at Grimsby.
Does anyone know... Ollie, you must know. You've got plenty of people. Who was the Red Jacket Man?
I have no idea. All I remember is Lee's memory of literally people coming down the steps.
Yeah.
And leaning over the side of the concrete, trying to pummel him and pummeling their mates.
I just remember standing with my dad, and he was always a little bit anxious, not anxious as such, but a little bit apprehensive about going home. We were 1-0 up, playing Millwall, and we were getting near the end of the game, and he was like, okay, just remember when we're leaving, just, you know, keep nice and tight, it'll be fine. And this Red Jacket guy getting muller, my dad was like, oh, this is the last thing we need.
It was like a cartoon film.
Slaughtered.
Film where there's just a big cloud of dust and all you see
and
is
you just see this bloke's head like...
fist coming out of nowhere. It's fucking hilarious. He was at Grimsby on the Tuesday night after that.
Well, whoever he is, I'd like him to come on.
What a legend. Right. Anyway, Robbie L, Mr. Consisti and our perfect Don. Engine, who are you putting in as your engine? I've got a shout.
Danny Bullman?
I was just about to say Bullman.
Danny Bullman's pretty good. Robbie L would have been a good shout.
Reeves nowadays.
He's a bit of an engine. Box to box. Gets up and down and round. There must be a decent fullback we've had who's been really, really up and down. But I can't.
That's Barry Fuller again, isn't it?
Yeah, Barry Fuller would have been a very good one for engine.
It's got to be a midfielder, though, isn't it, really? Is your engine room. That's why they call it the engine room.
Yeah, but nowadays.
No, I'm not having it.
Fullbacks do more running than anyone else.
So
they're always overlapping.
For me, I think, again, it's only one person. That's Danny Bullman. Can't think of any other proper engine, even Wimbledon days.
No, I can't.
Well, Robbie L, like I said, what I think was
but
a proper engine.
He's already in. We've already picked him.
He is very. And Leonardson, to be fair, he would be another one I thought he would never stop running that bloke.
Yeah, but for me, we'll go,
all
Danny.
It's all about
we'll
you.
Danny,
it's,
we'll
about you. It's all about
Danny. Ollie agree with me. Yeah. So.
It's a Lee Finch had a dream show today.
And the last one, heading, this is a given as well for me.
What? Carl Eburn?
No.
Mick Harford? All the big guns.
Paul Robinson could be a shout.
Right. Well, who's your. It has to be then. Go on.
Mayor Rod.
Oh, no. It's difficult to go.
Your 8 million man.
John Hartson.
John Hartson.
Fash. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, yeah, that would be
Danny Kedwell.
No, Fashanu, I think, would beat Kedwell. Fashanu and Everard would be tricky because naturally Fash you'd think would win it, but Everard at his level compared to Fash at his level would be That would be very, very interesting. I thought Fashanu was unreal. And Everard, and they're both a little bit naughty as well as you go up in the air.
Yeah. I liked that. I loved Everard. His son's a big fan of the podcast.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm going to get Matt Everard on.
He said he could.
Well, you need to deliver then.
The caveman, he was embedded on, weren't he? He went out on.
Was he?
Yeah.
He still comes and watches us.
Yeah, his boy's a massive Wimbledon fan. Plays for Frimley Green, I think. I can't remember his first name now. I had it a minute ago, but on there. Anyway, so that.
Matt Everard or Hartson? Not Hartson, Gale.
Fash.
What am I talking about? Fash.
Who are we going with? I'm saying Everard for me.
Of course you are. It's all about you.
I'm going Fash.
I'll go for Drew Broughton.
Drew Broughton scored a great goal at Tamworth, though.
Drew Broughton and...
Sounds like you do like ex-Milton Keynes players. So.
I'll go him and Cosgrove. Either of them would be fine.
We need to wrap it up because we'll be waffling.
Well, you just pick one then, because it's all about you tonight.
Well, no, because he's got Fash, I've got Everard. You get the deciding vote.
Well, I'm going to go with Ollie because I don't like
him. Right, so our perfect Dom would be football IQ, we've got Terry Burton. Strength, Bayerak and Fenwa. Finishing, we chose... Who did we choose? I've totally forgot. Who
John
did we
Main.
Choose? John May. Determination, we chose Fuller.
Fuller.
Aggression was Vinnie Jones. Technique was Rob Ursell. Consistency was Robbie L. Engine was Danny Ballman and Matt Everard on heading. Is that right?
That sounds absolutely perfect.
Yeah. We could have picked different players.
What an inspiration. And what number would we give them as a collective, this perfect player?
Number 8.
No, not what number. I meant how much in the fantasy.
Oh!
Number 8.
What shirt eight? Number are we giving him?
He doesn't need a shirt number. How much are you going to rate him?
Well, 50 million.
50, fine. One player, one man team.
Right, we'll move on. When we come back, we're going to finish up the episode with the Walsall preview.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Welcome to the final part of today's episode. We are going to be discussing Walsall. I was talking to Ollie before we started recording. I am going up there. I'm going up there on Friday, staying up there to meet the Buswell Pilgrimage. Is it where you go somewhere? Yeah. Buswell Pilgrimage. Go see my mate Mark Buswell. Moved up to Howes are in. We're getting on it Friday night. Going to the game Saturday. Buzzing for it. Danny, are you going?
No, I'm not. No, it's difficult. I'm absolutely not
carrying this podcast.
But you are carrying it, absolutely. What are your thoughts? Forget you, Lee. Ollie, what are you looking for on Saturday from our beloved Wombles?
I'd love to see Jake Reeves, but I think we might see him on a bench, but I don't think we'll see him. I just want a solid performance again. And stop giving away these sloppy goals. I mean, I'm going up as well because nowadays my 13-year-old daughter, she drags me everywhere.
Yes.
Literally, very quickly going off subject, last season at the end when we were terrible, Dad, can we go to Doncaster? No. Of course, she convinces me, lose. Dad, can we go to Stevenage? No. I said, we'll lose. So anyways, yeah, so we pretty much go everywhere now. Just a solid performance with just stop stupid, silly individual mistakes, I think. And an alley goal.
I agree. My boy's going to be meeting me up there as well because he lives in Melton, so he's getting the train on his own. First time, going to meet me in Birmingham and we'll travel to Walsall. I love Walsall. Walsall's a really good little ground.
It is quite. How far is it from the station?
Oh, just literally across the road.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's across the road. Right.
Okay. I went there ages ago when I went to uni. What was it? 2001, maybe? Might be 2002. We lost midweek. I think one of the first years we were in the championship. We wore yellow with the yellow kit. Some bloke called Matt Carbon scored.
I went last year when I think we got beat last 3-0, wasn't it? Or 3-1.
Did anyone go to the Dean Parrott Late Show?
Yes, I was there for that.
No, sadly, I missed that one.
You see me on the video when he's taking the penalty because Dobson was playing for him and I was Well, that's not abusing him. I was giving him some banter the whole game.
Yeah,
and then he ended up signing for us, and it was quite because we were literally.
And he went, "Oh, George, I'm sorry,
George." We were going Dobson number
two. Didn't mean it, Dobbo.
Dobson, it's your fault you are losing. This is your fault you were winning earlier, but you come on and you're rubbish. He was loving that. Proper banter that was.
Yeah, proper loving it.
But it was good, and the way in's good. The stewards are spot on. You get bottle tops. It's a great day out. And last year, I didn't pay to get in either.
What makes a great day out? Bottle tops.
I've got a tip for you. Get there around about 10 past 3. I know the game's already kicked off. They closed their ticket office. So the guy goes, "You need to go get a ticket to get in." We're like, "It's closed." He went, "Oh, we can't take it. Oh, go on then. Just go in." And got in for nothing.
Wow.
So, little Finchy Chipsy tip there for you.
Is there any thoughts on personnel changes, Lee?
I'd go 4-5-1.
Yeah. And so Ali on his own up front?
Yeah, because it's a tight ground. I think we'd be better off doing that because we can get Nerfu and Tilly closer to him, get Lakin closer to him. Morgan Williams comes back in if ball ain't available. I don't want to see Pell anywhere near the starting lineup. Don't want to see Brown anywhere near the starting lineup.
So who else starts then? If you've got...
Normal. Well, I just said...
You said...
4-5-1. So Bugle drops out and Morgan Williams comes back in.
But you said if ball is available.
No. If I don't want to see Pell, so...
Yeah, but you just said if ball is available. So you're playing ball. Yeah. So you're playing ball.
Ball, Lakin, and Morgan
and
Williams.
Yeah, okay. That makes
sense. Tilly, and then the four picks itself. Curry, Ogundia, Johnson, and Lewis. Bass in goal still. Ali up front. Try and keep it tight. Try and get a lead. Try and keep holding the lead. And then we've got a strong bench then. Davison, Bugel, Pell, Brown. Can't remember. Hopefully Reeves.
No, McLean. He didn't play. He wasn't on the bench, was he, the other day?
I think he's going to need a loan. I think, just unfortunately, with the team that we've got at the moment, I don't think he gets near our squad. Even though I like him and think he will be quality, I just don't know where he's going to... Where do you put him at the moment? Who do you bring him in for? I'd bring him in for Davison because I think Davison's pony now, but that's just my personal opinion.
Where are you at with Davison, Ollie?
I think I tweeted this the other day. I think his endeavour's great. He runs around, you know, he puts himself about. He's just not a threat.
Yeah, agreed.
I know he scored the other week, but he was standing virtually on the goal line and he volleyed it in. But I just don't see him as a threat. And that's the worry when there's no Ali. You know, I know Ali hasn't scored, but the amount of puts himself about, creates things, scares people with his pace. Yeah. We just when he's not playing, I just don't think we've got any threat at all up front. You've got to rely on the wingers.
That was the alarming thing with the Stockport game, wasn't it? That he wasn't playing and we kind of, Davison scored, but we just didn't, the whole game, we just looked. It's also like, even with the Chelsea game, we looked relatively organised but not without any kind of punch, and then when Ali came on, the whole dynamic, he just rushes people, which would be interesting. Where do you sit, Lee, with on Ogundia? Where are you at with him? Is he good enough to, when Buller's back, to keep the jersey, or do you feel like Biller is a natural step above Ogundia? Where are you at with him?
Depends what Biller we get back. Is he fit? You know, is he going to pull up again? You know, you can't throw him with his injury record. You can't throw him straight back in.
Yeah,
I don't think until probably. And as I said, I think he'd gone forward. Apart from that second goal, the first goal on Saturday, I don't think Ogs has done much wrong. He's looked lively. He's come forward. He's set up a couple of goals. I really don't think he's done that much wrong.
I disagree.
Oh.
Last few games, I think he's gone backwards again. Against Stockport, his crossing was atrocious. One of my mates said, "Is he a professional footballer? Because he can't cross the ball." And he couldn't beat an egg either. And it was really disappointing. He's trying to go past people that are quicker than him and slightly better than him. And yeah, I think that's his
actual weakness is his attacking play as a fullback. Yeah, I just feel like he's... I feel like he's relatively okay as a defensive unit. And I guess... In many ways, it's a bit harsh because ultimately your job as a right back or as a defender is to stop scoring. But going forward, I kind of find him very, very sort of... I think he'd be quite easy to defend against. But that's not really why he's in the team. Well, and I don't have a problem with him being in the team providing that he's not in there for long periods. But again, it's if you have got aspirations to be better than where we are, you know, a 10 to 16 probably team. And if we are, I think he's probably all right.
Yeah. Look, Billa played 45 minutes in a friendly, didn't he, on Tuesday, I think.
Oh, did he?
So you might, with PK as well, so you might see them on the bench on Saturday.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
PK said a Pierce for me. It's full, Pierce is at it now. But quite disappointed to see Sutcliffe not involved as well, to be fair. But it's brilliant when he come on against Stockport. But, well, let's make, because I was going to make a mad prediction, but then I got to remember that the prediction league and stuff is still in play, especially with Wad and also with Don's Vlogs as well, smashing that one.
You're not smashing the ones that had a dream one.
Don't worry about that one. And you keep saying about we're going to smash teams. So I was going to go as a joke one, like 7-1 Wimbledon. And keep doing it every week just to wind Danny up. But I'm actually going to go 2-1 Wimbledon.
You're going to go 2-1 Wimbledon. And obviously, just so we're clear, you are on 8 points. I'm on 9. Mod, Gary and Stobbsy, 10. Joe Moogs, 11. And we're all still trying to catch the bus. No one's going to get on this bus, mate. This bus ain't stopping for anyone.
That's a good one for you, Danny.
Thank you. And it took me a week. Got there in the end.
At least you've done decent this week.
I find that I'm going to go to Ollie, please.
I'm dreaming with this one. 3-1 us. 2-1 up. Looking like we're going to concede again in the last minute and break away John Mayne-esque against Hornchurch.
What are Walsall like? By the way, chaps.
They're half decent, I think. I think they're all right.
Okay.
They're a team you'd look to. They've got a good striker in Johnson up front. I don't
He's
really
the
know
guy who was at Mansfield last year. He scored against us for Walsall, didn't he?
He was at them and then went to Mansfield. Yeah, so. But he ain't been on loads of form, I don't think. I think he's been on the bench for him. But yeah. What's your prediction anyway, Danny? You didn't
say. I'm just going around the houses. I'm just looking at the form, obviously, because it's an important aspect of my general progress. Let's have a look. Form. Right, Walsall's form. Drew, 1-1 loss. There we are. That is what Walsall will bring to the party. 14th, we're 11th.
Same points.
See, I'm a bit concerned because I feel like we really could do with... I wouldn't say in a slump, but we're hard to beat, but not particularly interesting in terms of the scoring. I mean, we've only conceded 8 goals. I mean, that's not many at all. Who's anyone considered? We've basically got the joint second best, third defence in the league. I mean, that's pretty mental for Wimbledon. So I'm going to say,
hurry up.
Listen, don't you dare. After my expert analysis, I'm going to say a nervy 2-0. To us.
All right, I was going to say Wimbledon.
It's going to be a 1-0, hanging on. And I think Ollie's right. I think we're going to nick one. And then I think next Saturday, which I know is a bit early, but Tranmere, I think are going to get an absolute battering. I think Tranmere are going to get... Well, I don't want to laugh too much because we're going to get slaughtered, but Tranmere have played 8, lost 7, scored... They're scoring goals, conceded...
Just got a new manager, though, haven't they?
Who have they got?
Don't know, but they've sat the manager recently. New manager bounce.
But I feel like that's the team we're going to absolutely tear apart.
Well, sounds good. Sounds good. Right. Ollie, thanks very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been good fun.
No, right. Danny, thanks.
No, not interested. They got Nigel Atkins, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's
he
it.
He hasn't been there in ages. It was, I had a really good time talking to you, Ollie. Lee, I had a really nice time until you started slaughtering all my hard work.
And after that, mate, I'm now love it.
Not only demotivated, but
it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I'm frustrated.
And we'll get it out there so everyone else can pick their fantasy.
I will do it tonight/ tomorrow morning,
well,
and I'll send it.
Calm down. Friday night. It's Friday night. The Dons are on the piss.
No, we're
it's
not doing
Friday
that.
Friday night. The Dons are on the piss. That'd be me. Right, I'll see everyone on Saturday at Walsall with a slight hangover, I'm guessing. Thanks to Gary Fletcher and the guys at Season Master for sponsoring the podcast. Yes, this has been the One Was Out of Dream, the number one ASC Women podcast. Good night. Come on, you Dons.
Come on, boys.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.